Good evening. Isn't it great to be here tonight? It is always, as always, it is a blessing to be here. And kind of changing roles a little bit, and it's nice to hear Chris lead singing. I don't know if it's nice to hear me preaching or not, but it's nice for me. I enjoy being up here, and I enjoy the opportunity and Chris sharing the pulpit with me on occasions. And I feel truly blessed. I think it's one of the greatest blessings that we have is sharing God's Word. Handling it and teaching from it. And so I enjoy very much the opportunity I have when I have these, like tonight. When a closed mind is good. You know, most of the time in our life, when we talk about closed minds, it's in a negative sense. We talk about closed-minded people. We talk about people who are not learners, people who aren't willing to listen to truth. We talk about things in a sense, people don't want to know anything new. They've already settled things. And there is some to that. We always discuss, we have discussed many, many times in our life, the absolute necessity of approaching study with an open mind. Or at least an open-minded attitude, you know, as opposed to being indoctrinated into a certain dogmatic belief system. So we've been taught to be open-minded. We've been taught to listen to truth or to listen to people and what they have to say. And we've gone through that most of our life. And there is a lot of truth there. We should be a people who are open-minded and who listen to truth. But the problem is we quit right there. And we always want to be open-minded. We always want to listen to what's going on, when in reality what we should be doing is listening for truth. Is listening to find something that is true, something that is concrete, something that we can hold on to, something that is immovable. If you remember last week, Chris quoted from a man, G.K. Chesterton. And the quote was, "The point of having an open mind, like having an open mouth, is to close it on something solid." Is it ever right to have a closed mind? That's the question I want us to answer tonight. Is it ever right to have a closed mind? I think it is. And I believe that we're going to see that. I believe that we really know the truth there already. We know that it's right to have a closed mind at times. Not to be closed-minded, but to have a closed mind on something solid. There are some things I want to share with you tonight. Some things that we can find, that we can close our mind. We can wrap our minds around and close them because those things are solid. Those things are there for us. And the first thing I want to share, and it's got to start here, is that there is truth. Now, I know you've heard this many times in your life. It's nothing new, but we do know that there is absolute truth in this world. Regardless of what so many people want to talk about in this world, so many doctors and professors and everything else that are always saying, you know, there really are no absolutes. There is nothing in this world that you can say with absolute certainty that this is true. Well, sorry, but there are truths. There are things that we can wrap our mind around and close our mind on those things. Proverbs chapter 23:23 says, "Buy the truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding." What did he say? Buy truth. Find it. Get out there. Do whatever you can. If you have to sell everything that you have, if you have to get rid of everything else, buy the truth. And whatever you do, once you get a hold of it, do not sell it. Do not get rid of it. It is something that you need to make part of you. You need to understand it. You need to make a commitment to it. Buy it and keep it. Don't ever allow it to get away from you. How many of you like to garden? Anybody? Not many, huh? How many of you enjoy things from gardens? When is it time to plant potatoes and squash and all of those things. When do you plant those things? November? December? No? Why? What would happen if we went out and tilled a garden and we planted all these things in November? What would happen? Would they grow? No. Why? What if I wanted today, what if I said, man, I want to be open-minded about this whole deal. I want to go out and I want to plant me a garden a few months ago. I want to put me in a big, nice garden, and I've got a 5-acre spot over here, and I'm going to till it all up, and I'm going to fertilize it, and I'm going to do everything right, and I'm going to plant all these vegetables. Would it be a fruitless endeavor? Why? Because the world, God created this world in a way that plants don't grow, don't perform, they don't bring about or produce crops in the wintertime. It just doesn't happen, and we know that. Is that truth? Is there truth in that? You better believe it. God has made this world a certain way, and He has done things that are true, that are absolute, and they're not going to change. This world, we know there are things that are going to happen. It's true. God made it that way. Well, can we find other truths? What truths can we find as we look through God's Word? And the Lord is praying in John chapter 17 about His disciples or His apostles in John 17:17. And He said, Father, sanctify them in truth. Thy Word is truth. Father, set them apart. Let them be different in something than the rest of the world. They've got to be different. People have got to be able to recognize that they are different. Set them apart from everyone else. And He says, and the way to separate them, to set them apart, is through Your Word. The truth of Your Word. Psalms 119 verse 160 says, the sum, S-U-M, not S-O-M-E, but the sum, S-U-M, the totality of Your Word is truth. When we look at God's Word and we go from the very beginning to the very end, it is all true. This is truth because it comes from God. There is absolute truth. Paul, writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16, says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching and reproof and correction and training up in righteousness. Is there truth there? Is there something solid there that people can wrap their minds around and close it on those things? Is it a benefit? Is it something that is going to be good for people to do? Absolutely. We can close our mind on the truths of God's Word. Look with me in John chapter 18. I always thought this was a powerful verse. In John chapter 18, beginning at verse 37, Pilate is standing before Christ. Now, I know that a lot of people have taught that Jesus is actually before Pilate, but God does not go before man. Man always comes before God. Even the song that we sing, He could have called 10,000 angels to come and destroy the world and set Him free. The Lord, Jesus, was in control when He was with Pilate. But Pilate says and asks Him, so you're a king? Verse 37. And Jesus answered, you say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears me. Everyone who is of the truth listens or hears my voice and hears me. Now look at the next verse. What does Pilate say in response? What is truth? Don't we find ourselves in the world hearing that every day? What is truth? You know, you come and tell me that this is what I should be about, or I should be involved in this over here, but I don't know about it. I don't know if that's for me or not. And you know, too many people in this world say there really is no such thing as absolute truth. And that's what Pilate was saying. What is truth? You're going to sit here and tell me that you have all the answers? You, a man on trial, and you're a nobody, you're poor, you have nothing. And I'm up here on this throne, and I have this kingdom, and I'm number one here, and everyone's going to listen to me, and you're going to tell me you have the truth? Come on, what is truth? Do you really honestly think that you can tell me what is truth? I don't really know what all was going through Pilate's mind, but the question was asked, what is truth? And Jesus just told him, if you're ready to close your mind around something solid, then you need to listen to me. There is truth in this world. We can have absolute truth. We can know what is true, and we can close our minds around that. It is something that will encourage us. It will strengthen us. It will build us up. It will give us confidence in this life that nothing else will. When we know what we should be closing our minds around. The truth is there. God's Word, He has given it to us. We could spend hours and hours talking about all the truths of the Bible, of all the things where the Scripture claims to be true and shows itself to be true. But suffice it to say, God's Word, as the Lord says, is truth. And there is something that we can wrap our minds around. It is okay to close our minds around this truth. Well, one of these great truths in God's Word that we would close our mind around is this. Christianity. What is Christianity? Sounds like something maybe we were listening to this morning, if we were listening. But some of the things that we talk about, and I can remember a lady talking some years back about, she was having some difficulties at home, and her relationship with her husband and with her children and with all the things, all the peripheral things in her life. And she was just an emotional wreck. And she decided to go to this counselor, this Christian counselor, for help. And a counselor just told her, you know what? You need to find yourself. You need to go and find something that's going to cause you to have joy in your life. You need to find some new hobbies. You need to build some new relationships. You need to go out and you need to just forget everything else and worry about you for a change and forget everyone else. How do you do that with a family? How do you forget everybody and just worry about yourself? She had a good point. But she was pointing this lady in the wrong direction. Yeah, she needed to find worth. She needed to find something to close her mind around. But she was pointing her in the wrong direction. You need to build self-esteem is what she was telling her. How many times have you heard that phrase? We have got to build self-esteem in ourselves. We've got to build this up and we've got to make... Man, it comes crashing down before long. Now, stay with me for a few minutes, okay? You may not know where I'm heading with this, but hopefully we'll come back around to it. I told James I was going to use him tonight as an illustration, and I'm going to tell you something tonight about James. Most of you in here know him better than I do, and you know what kind of heart he has. You know that he loves people, and you know that about him. But there's something that I don't know if you know, but I'll guarantee you tonight is not going to happen. It's an impossibility for him. I'll tell you right now, James is not going to win the Boston Marathon this year. You believe that? Now, I don't know. Sometime back in his life, maybe he could have done that. I could have never done that. Not in the best shape of my life would I have ever even finished the Boston Marathon, let alone would I have ever won it. Is that right? Do you think, is that a fair statement to say? You probably would not win the marathon. Absolutely. Okay. I do have a question though for you, James. Would you give up? Would you give up all of your family, your wife, your children, your grandchildren, and that great-grandchild that you were holding, I was watching this morning? Would you give up all of that to hold a trophy that says you won the Boston Marathon? Is that an easy question to answer? I told you it wouldn't be hard. Maybe there's something else. Maybe you would think, I don't know, there's a lot of notoriety that would come from that. His face would be on the front page of every newspaper in this country, maybe around the entire world. Maybe there's something else in your life that you would say, I would do anything. I would give anything to have this or to do that. One time in my life when I was growing up, the only thing I could picture I wanted to do more than anything else was I wanted to go play football for OU. They don't take guys my height to play line and as slow as I am and all of those other things down there. Or I wanted to play for OU and then go on and play for the Pittsburgh Steelers as a little child. That's all I ever wanted to do. But I look and I think there is no way that I would give up my family. Even if someone said, I can promise you, we will make you the captain of the team, and you will win national championships, and you will have Super Bowl rings, and you will do all of those things. There is nothing in this world that it has to offer to give up our family for. Now, when we start wrapping our mind around that concept, it is so foreign to this world. Because when people look at Christianity, they don't understand what Christianity is all about. They don't understand who we are as Christians. They don't understand who God has told us, who God created us to be. And when we talk about Christianity, as Chris even said this morning, Christianity is about serving one another. Christianity is about being selfless. Christianity is looking out and seeing what can we do. And we start looking at our relationships. And the first thing we look at is our family. You look at your marriages and you think about what Hollywood and all the people and the glamorous people in this world say about marriage. If you've been married for 2 or 3 or 4 years, that's a long time to be married. You ever heard that? I've heard several famous people on television say that. It's a long time to be married for 3 or 4 years. I can remember going to celebrations with couples who've been married for 65, 66, 67 years. And I almost said, that's a long time to be married. It is a long time. But what Hollywood is saying is, it's about you. Your relationships are about making yourself happy. It's finding contentment in what you can do in those relationships. And when they don't serve your purpose anymore, then what do? You get rid of them. It's okay, because everything is disposable in this world today. As long as you're happy, as long as you find contentment and fulfillment in this life, everything is okay. No matter what you do, it's all right. But God's Word says no. Here's the truth. As a Christian, we understand about marriage. God says that it is a covenant relationship. It is something that we enter into with a guarantee and with promises. And we make the sacrifices, if you will, not so much physically offering up a sheep or something on an altar, but we offer the sacrifices of ourselves. And we say, I'm going to do everything that I can to make this marriage work, and I'm going to serve, and I'm going to do all that I can to make sure everything is going to work. God says it involves leaving father and mother, forgetting the most important relationship in our life since the day we were born to enter in this relationship with this person. It is a forever relationship. No one is ever to come between the two of you. It's not about what I can get, but it's about what I can give. That's the truth of the Bible. That's the truth of God's Word. And Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus in chapter 5, he says two things to the wives. He says, wives, submit to your husbands and respect them. And he says to the husbands very simply, love your wives. And if we understood what those things meant, if we went into a long study, if you will, not that it really takes a whole lot to understand what those things mean, but if we really committed to those things, if we really wrapped our mind and closed our minds around those truths, we would understand what he's saying is marriage is about serving one another. It's not about serving yourself, it's about serving one another. There's a truth that the world will never share. There is a truth that we hear and we don't hear ever in this world. But what we do hear is, man, go and get something that makes you feel good. And if it doesn't feel good anymore, then go get into something else. Do something different. Like changing a pair of shoes or something. It's okay. Serve one another. That's what God's Word says. And then we start looking at maybe our ministries. And I don't know what you, if you stopped right now, and mentally I would challenge you to think about your ministry right now. What is that? Do you have something defined in your life, an area of ministry that you're involved in? I know that everyone here has turned in those ministry involvement forms, right? Everybody's done that. Things that you have volunteered, things that you looked at your life and prayed about and said, these are the things I want to be involved in. These are the things I want to do. These are the way I want to serve this church, the Lord's church. I know everyone's filled those out. But perchance you haven't, at least in your mind right now, your ministry area. What are those? What things are important in your life? And I started jotting some things down this last week about things that in the youth, working with the youth over the last however many years that it's been, either full-time or when I was working in the bank for years doing it. And I started thinking, okay, I've done VBSs. Local and out of state, and camps and retreats and Bible bowls in several different states, and backpacking trips and campouts and fishing trips and going to the zoo and the aquarium and the pizza farm and the tiger safari places and all the youth rallies with thousands and thousands of kids. And I go through all of these things and I stop and think. Now, in my conversations with all these young people through the years, what was the greatest impact in your life? What is it? Everyone. Now, camp is always at the top of a list of importance. But there's one that everyone who had ever gone with me on a mission trip, every single one of them said, this was the greatest thing that's ever happened. And I can't help but remember one of our trips 8 or 10 years ago. We were in Old Mexico in Monterey. And I can't remember, it's a 20-hour drive or something like that just to get there. And when you're in a van with a dozen teenagers and you've got 4 van loads going down there and all the things that are going on, it gets a little chaotic and a little crazy. But we get down there and one day all the people from all the different job sites had to come together because we were working on the largest church building for the Church of Christ church building there in Monterey. And it was 60 feet wide by 100 feet long. It was 2 stories high, and that day we were pouring the roof. And the roof is made out of cement. So we've got 4 mixers going, and we've got piles of gravel and sand and cement and scaffolding built up the side of this thing, taller than this peak in here. And we're filling 5-gallon buckets about a third of the way full because I don't know if you've ever tried to lift a 5-gallon bucket of cement, but it's not easy. And we're passing these things up one to the next, all the way up to the top. And we pour that entire thing in concrete that day. We got there before 7 o'clock that morning, and we were there until about 7:30 that evening. The mixers never quit. And if you couldn't keep up, someone had to jump in your place. If you were so tired that you couldn't lift your arms anymore, you just got out of the way for a minute and taken a little bit of a rest, and then you jumped right back in. And I can't help but think one of the young ladies that was with me, she wasn't even half my size, but she stood beside me all day long. And I'd never seen her dirty. I'd never seen a hair out of place. I never saw anything like that on her in all the years that I knew her. And that day, she didn't have a clean spot on her body. She was black from head to toe. Dirt and concrete, and her clothes were ruined. And she would, every once in a while, she would just kind of lean over there and just go, oh, I'm tired. And then we'd wait, and that cement mixer would be ready to start pouring, and she was right there with her bucket ready to go. And I watched, and every one of our young people were doing that. And they were so exhausted they couldn't even make it back to our rooms that night without going to sleep in the van and talking. And I said later on, what's the best thing that you can remember about your days in a youth group? Oh man, that time we were in Mexico. I'm talking about kids that have never done manual labor in their life. Why? Why is that so important? Because I think, I honestly and truly believe, for the very first time in their life, they finally realized how God created them. When it says He created us in His image, for the first time, they realized what that meant to be created in the image of God. And you see, the truth is, God serves. God waits on us. God has given us the best of that He had to offer us, so that we might in turn do the same. That we might learn from Him, and we might embrace those truths. That we might close our minds around those things and understand that Christianity is about serving. It's not about what I can get out of it, but it's about what I can give. Christianity has nothing to do with self-service and has everything to do with self-sacrifice. I stole that from this morning. Isn't that right? There's the truth that we need to wrap our mind around. In a world that says it, and the absolute opposite of that, Christianity has nothing to do with self-service and has everything to do with self-sacrifice. It has to do with serving other people. It's looking out and trying to find what can we do to help those people around us. There are a lot of truths in this world. There are so many things. And I going through this lesson, I took out a few pages. I know some of you are breathing a sigh of relief. I had a lot of other things I wanted to say, but I came and was going over them. I thought, boy, there's no way I'm going to get through all of this. How many things are there that we can wrap our minds, that we can close our minds around? How many truths exist in God's Word that we can make a commitment to embracing and saying, I don't need to leave my mind open to all these things. I can close it around this because this is something solid. This is something that I can have the rest of my life. And very quickly, I'll share this last thing and we'll close tonight. In Philippians chapter 3, in verse 17 and following, Paul is talking and he says, our citizenship is not here, but it's in heaven. We're not of this world. This is not our home. We're not going to stay here. This is only a temporary place. We have a home that's already been prepared for us. We have a relationship with God that is for all eternity. We have that. We have that absolute knowledge that that's where we're going to be. That's where we're going to spend eternity. And don't get tied up in the things of this world. And he was arguing earlier, actually, in this book of Philippians in chapter 1, in verse 12 and following. He talks about his circumstances. And he says, you know, I'm in chains. But because of my circumstances, I have been given an opportunity to do what I'm supposed to do, and that serve other people. I'm sharing the gospel, the message of the gospel with the lost. Our doors have been opened because of these chains. What a powerful way to look at life. To look at all those circumstances that most people would say, man, woe is me. And he said, no, look at the things, the possibilities of this life. Even when jealous people are trying to harm me, he says, it's all right. Because at least they're preaching about the gospel. And as long as the gospel is being preached, as long as people are sharing the truth with this world, then it's okay. Whether we're in chains or not, it's all right. because this world is not our home. Don't ever forget. Don't ever think that this is all there is. And when we forget and we think that way, we start trying to close our minds around things that aren't solid. What's solid in our life? Is it good to close our mind on solid things? You better believe it. It's wonderful. It is a good thing to close our minds around truth. It's good to close our mind around things like the relationship of what Christianity is all about, that it is about serving one another. It is a good thing to close our minds around that truth. It is a good thing to remember and close our mind around that this is not our home. No matter what's going on, no matter how beautiful it is, no matter how many things you've accumulated and how comfortable you are in this world, this is not your home. But it's coming. It's good to do that. Is it okay to close our mind? It's not only okay, it's comforting, it's fulfilling, it's a joyful thing when we can rest with absolute certainties in our life. Some people might ask, well, isn't that a little bit arrogant to say you have truth? And I would simply say arrogance is not closing my mind around truth. Arrogance is closing my mind to the truth. How are you going to leave tonight? Are you going to leave tonight with your mind closed, wrapped around the truth of God's Word? Are you going to leave tonight with an absolute certainty and assurance in your life that you're a child of God? And that everything in your life is good and is a blessing because God is with you? Are you going to leave tonight with your mind wrapped around the truth that you are a child of God? Are you going to leave tonight going away joyful like the eunuch did when Philip taught him the truth? And it said after he learned the truth and he was immersed into Christ, he went on his way rejoicing. Philip taught him how to wrap his mind around the truth. How to close his mind on something solid. Jesus Christ, our God, is truth. And we can wrap our minds around that. We can close our minds with absolute certainty around that. It's a good thing to have a closed mind on those things. You can leave tonight. You will leave tonight one way. Either with a closed mind around the truth, or with an open mind and allowing anything to come in and change your perceptions and understandings as you go through this life. You can leave with absolute certainty, with the truth in your mind and your relationship with God, with the meaning of life. You can leave with all of those things if you so desire, because God has given us that truth. The question is, how will you leave? It's up to you. It's your choice. God welcomes you and God invites you and God wants to give you that truth and that assurance if you're willing and if you're ready to do that. If you need to respond to His invitation tonight, He stands waiting to accept you and is waiting for you right now to come to Him. What will your answer be? The invitation's yours while we stand.